ladies and gentlemen, it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnus.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rocking with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight. Tonight we feature blown alcohol funny car driver and tuner Brian Golic. I'm going to ask some racing questions. John's going to ask some rocking questions, and we're going to have a great time. You can join our live chat during the show at racersreunion.com. Also, we are live broadcasting on Facebook right now. Just go to the Draglist.com fan page, and you can hear us there. So without further ado, Brian Golic, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it.
And so great to have you on. Finally got a chance to meet you at the MIR Legends race a couple weekends ago. You're all over the place these days, tuning alcohol dragsters, driving nostalgia funny cars. It must be a whirlwind. Take us through a typical week.
No sleep. We'll just start with that. Sleep is overrated. It's kind of crazy to think, about 9 years ago, I never even knew what a funny car was, believe it or not. And, I went to school, to a tech school, ended up meeting Bob Rossetti there with some of his nostalgia funny cars. And, we had a 10-minute conversation and the rest is history. He was kind enough to take me under his wing. And, I started with the nostalgia funny car bodies with him, and, it's crazy how, when I look back in the last 8 years of what I've done, I don't even remember half the stuff anymore. Every day of the week, it's, I'm even at work, my normal job, when I'm outside of work, I'm always thinking about something, what I have to do the next day for, whether we're racing in the week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who I'm racing with, what work needs to get done so that we can make that race. And then on top of all that, having my own car, which I don't even really get to think about all too much anymore, which is, I guess you could say a good thing, because it doesn't cost me that much money. But, nonetheless, it's still a lot. My girlfriend and daughter, are very much invested in, my dream of playing with this stuff, and, I'm grateful to have them around to, take care of all the other stuff while I'm playing, so to speak. Right. And playing is a loose term, because anybody that knows anything about it, it's a lot of playing, but there's a lot more work involved than meets the eye.
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. I never saw so many people work so hard at a hobby in my life, because nobody making any money, certainly, away from the big show.
Making a lot less money.
Yeah, and giving it up. Well, that's amazing. I did not know that about you. That's fascinating, and it's great to. I know we reach out to the tech schools now and then, and in this case, it worked out well. Was Rossetti scouting talent there, or what was he doing?
This was back in the day, you could say, when the early days of the Frantic Ford was coming out. They were at the school, looking for, some publicity and, to bring the Frantic Ford Mustang 2 out. And Bob Rossetti had his two cars there for a car show that they do a couple times a year. And, they really hadn't, Bob, I guess, really had no intentions of bringing anybody on board. I guess you could say he interviewed four kids. I was one of them. A friend of mine, Tom Savage, was another one, which he went on to, play with some top alcohol funny car stuff as well. But, unfortunately I lost contact with him in the last couple of years. It's just, he moved away and whatnot, but regardless, right. It's just, he asked me a couple of questions and he's like, what are you doing next weekend? And the following weekend he, had me come over to his place and showed me a bunch of stuff. And then, from then on, we started making nostalgia funny car bodies together. and still to this day we do it. We've learned a lot together, and every time we make a body, whether it's now carbon fiber or fiberglass, which we have in the recent years ventured into carbon fiber, we always throw ideas off to each other and try new things, and we never make one body the same. We're always trying to improve, but, you know, it's, again, you know, 9 years ago, I never even knew what a funny car was, and, you know, right. You could say that, it's odd. I'm only 30 years old, so, you know, I really didn't grow up around drag racing per se, you know, in my, you know, younger age, only recently, and, you know, just how much I've done recently has, you know, I look back and I'm thinking, wow, I don't remember doing that at all, and, you know, I would say I didn't do things like that, but, right. You know, I'm grateful for him because he's given me a lot and given me a lot of time and taught me a lot of things, and believe it or not, he was the first person to give me an opportunity in a nostalgia funny car. A few years ago, probably I'd say somewhere around 4 or 5 years ago now, I made a hit in his funny farmer Pinto, which got was it. Our very first carbon fiber car, which I was, okay. You know, in my mind nervous about that, but right. You know, it's just that the works of art, you know, when they're done and they're race cars, but then you go out there and you get the beat on them and it's like, you know, in my mind, I know what it took to make it. Right. You know, it played with it a little bit, but, you know, it's kind of humbling too, to just think I was just a kid and, you know, now people look up to me and, you know, as far as, you know, help, et cetera, you know, sure. The whole nine yards there.
It's pretty amazing. I'm amazed that the funny farmer is 5 years old. I thought that was like a year or two ago. It's what it feels like. Yeah. You know, I mean, ridiculous.
I know exactly what you mean.
Time just flies. Well, I love that you came in fresh. I mean, that's really, really unusual. As I'm sure everybody tells you, everybody like grows up in the sport, and then that's where like the next generation typically comes from. So it's really great to have you coming from the outside in and dive it in. You know, with both feet.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I always make the joke, and even in front of my father, I say my father never loved me and never took me to a drag strip, but, and he'll say, yeah, he's right. But, you know, of course, the first time I was ever at a drag strip was a car show. And me and him went to at Maple Grove for the Super Chevy show. And, you know, I saw race cars there, you know, really for the first time as far as going fast, you know, relatively speaking compared to now, what I know is fast, but, you know, it's pretty crazy. It really is. You know, and the amount of friendship and what do I want to call it, camaraderie, and the way people treat each other in the racing world is pretty. A lot of people could take notes from that, you could say, because you know, nobody's really ever out to hurt somebody, or you know, you never want to see anybody get hurt. You know, you never want to see anybody, you know, go through a tough time, or if they're in a pinch, anything you can do to help them out, and that's usually what I do. If you know, I'm sitting around doing nothing and somebody's like, hey, we need some help. You know, I'll be there in a heartbeat. That's just, you know, it's like a drug.
Yeah, I gotcha. Well, let's talk a little bit about driving them. So you took a ride in the Funny Farmer 5 years ago. And this last year, in 16, actually, you licensed in the Super Camaro and made some passes this year. Tell us what that's like.
Well, so the Funny Farmer, of course, is a mid to low 7 second car, and then the Super Camaro is a mid to low 6 second car. They're night and day different cars. You know, the Funny Farmer was a Power Glide automatic transmission car, and then, you know, the Super Camaro was a clutch car, Power Glide clutch car. So there was a learning curve there to pick it up, and I've been around them a long time, and I, you know, never really put too much thought into how to drive a car other than just be outside it, make sure the things are right for the driver, et cetera. And when I finally had to sit in the car and do everything, you know, it took me a couple times to, you know, going through the motions to make sure that, you know, I got the routine down. And, you know, Rocky Perrone has been, you know, unbelievably helpful to me with all of that, and, you know, been very patient. And, you know, we work very well together. I can't say enough to thank him, you know, for giving me the opportunity. The first hit I made in that car was, I can't remember the track, but, you know, it was a couple, you know, we were doing initial passes just to get comfortable in the car and, you know, get used to the acceleration, et cetera, of, you know, how much faster that car was. And then my first full hit was last year at MIR at the Legends race. I ended up going 690 flat at 200 and, like, can I remember the mile an hour? I think it was 201 miles an hour. I'm sorry, 198 miles an hour. So that was my first 6 second pass, and my previous fast pass before that was an 801. So I completely jumped over the second 7 second zone. So that was a big deal to me, you know, considering that when I got out at the other end, I was like, well, where'd it go? Like a 760, a 770? I had no idea how fast it was. And, you know, that whole weekend, we had some issues with the car and everything happening, and it was just, it wasn't one of our best weekends. And then Rocky goes out in the Frantic Ford, he makes a hit, and it wasn't a great pass. He's coming down the return road, and he tells me he stops to watch my pass, and when the 690 went up on the board, he said that was the highlight of the weekend, you know, it just to be able to go out there and make a full hit and, you know, to be able to get that done was a cool thing. Now, unfortunately, that pass did not count toward my license because it was an IHRA track, and you know, they're required to make the passes at the NHRA tracks. So fast forward a little bit to this year, you know, we had some issues with the car early on that we had to figure out, and, you know, Rocky, again, putting me in a car that's a lot faster, he wanted to make sure the car was, you know, right. He didn't want to give me a car that we weren't 100% sure was, you know, not that it was unsafe, of course, it was perfectly safe, but, you know, it wasn't going to give me a car that when I go out there, I had to like really drive the car, or we weren't sure if the fuel system wasn't going to, you know, react the way we needed to. So we had some, you know, steps to make and change to get it to where we needed to be. But, you know, toward the end of the season here, we finally got it figured out. So we headed out on a Tuesday night. I get out of work a little bit early and rush down to ACCO, and we somehow squeeze out three hits on a Tuesday night at ACCO within like 4 hours or so. And the first full pass that I made that night was a six. Like, I don't know why I can't remember these numbers. You would think I would be etched in my head.
That's why we do the drag list and you do the tuning. You don't want me tuning these cars either.
I know it was a 6 second pass, and it was within the realm of my license pass. And the last hit that I made that night, it was getting dark, and the car started to drift toward the center line, and I lifted early. And I knew I should have got back into it, and unfortunately it was like a 770. So it didn't count toward the license that we were trying to achieve, which is Van TT. We went out, we had an event the following weekend at ACCO on Saturday for one of their thrill shows. Of course, I couldn't drive because I was not licensed for that car. Right. And we had John Headley fill in for us that weekend because Rocky was in the Frantic Ford. We stuck around for Sunday. It was a relatively warm day, around probably 90, 92 degrees, and we go out there with the intention of, no matter what happens, we just would like to go out and make one hit, finish the license, and get it over with. Mm-hmm. And we go out there, you know, I'm not a long burnout, just a standard burnout, just to, you know, wasn't putting on a show for anybody per se. It was just to go out, mm-hmm. do the burnout, eat the tires up, and make the run. I lined the car up, launched the car. It goes 646, 226 miles an hour.
Holy crap.
Yeah. We weren't expecting that. We were expecting maybe a 660, you know, somewhere around there, 650, you know, 215, 218 miles an hour, where the car has normally been. And to put the 226 up was a big deal. I'm going to gloat a little bit here and say it was the fastest nostalgia funny car pass this year from the group that we're in, you know, as far as miles per hour goes. But definitely wasn't the quickest. But the mile per hour told us that the car's got a lot more in it. That's where we're at toward the end of the season right now. We're playing around a little bit and testing, and we're trying to put up a better number. We want to get a better number out of it. We know it can do it, especially since it put up 226 in a 90 degree day. The car is ready to move, and we just have to play with the fuel system and to make some more hits and, you know, dial it in. That's where it becomes fun.
That's flat flying. And just to remind everybody, we are running blown alcohol this year in the Super Camaro. That's not a nitro car, so that's really amazing numbers.
Yeah, you know, it has a lot to do with the new toy we have sitting on top, the little piece of jewelry. We have a nice new blower sitting on there, and you know, a lot of people tell you it's all about air and fuel, and we got a lot of air going in there. So, you know, with the fuel going in it, it's making some power. And you know, I'll tell you what, it's a blast to drive. It's definitely a rush. And you know, a lot of people don't understand, like, 226 miles an hour. It's fast, but they just don't understand the concept that it's in such a short amount of time. And right. You know, to accelerate that rapid is the best. And you know, as a driver, and you know, a lot of people will relate to this, maybe for new drivers, I should say, but like myself, I really didn't have any idea how fast I was going, because I don't have many runs to compare it to. Mm-hmm. But I knew how fast I was going when those chutes hit, and I was slowing down as fast as I would. That the feeling that when those parachutes, you know, deploy, and it slows you down, and you don't even have to touch the brake, it slows you down so hard. It's there's no feeling like it. There really isn't. And you know, it's definitely an addiction, and the adrenaline junkie in me is not going away anytime soon.
Awesome. Well, I mean, we are absolutely running out of time. We're having such a great time talking to you. We wanted to talk about the Dragster and road stories and all kinds of stuff, but give us like a minute or two on the Fox Family Top Alcohol Dragster. You're doing some pretty good work there.
Well, Tom Fox Jr. and Sr. of you know, father-son team, great guys. Me and Tom Jr. work very well. We're basically the main crew guys on the car, you know, service the car in between rounds, etc. You know, we've traveled a lot this year. We ended up making it out to Indy this year for the first time, and you know, it was a blast. You know, I've never been to Indy before, and you know, neither of those guys, and you know, we had a good time. Regrettably, we didn't qualify because it was a very tough field out there, fastest field in history, actually. But you know, we did our best, got to hang out with the guys. I'm normally a put the car away and get some rest, go to work the next day, and when the event's over for us, then we get to have some fun. Right. I got to have some fun with the guys Friday night. We went and enjoyed ourselves, I should say, and you know, with the other teams that were still hanging out at the track. But you know, that's a little story for the guys, you know, between us.
Yeah, but, well, what you can tell us at the bar the next time we get together. As I understand
absolutely.
It, your nickname went from Virgil to Thumper after that. That's what a little birdie told me. I don't know anything about that.
Yeah, that's. I wonder where you got that information from. thanks.
We have all the best sources. That's it. Well, you can tell me at the bar next time. But
yeah. You
anyway,
go.
Leave me with one road story you can tell us.
I can tell you. So I have that blue Alter that's in the picture with me. That's my car.
Awesome.
It's an injected big block Chevy, which next year will be a blown alcohol Hemi with a Lenco. That's the current project this winter. I'm stepping up to go fast on my own dime here for some strange reason, but you know, the adrenaline junkie again. But so when I purchased that car, it was down in Florida. Bob Toth and I and my girlfriend Priscilla, we ended up going down to Florida to pick that car up, and it was right down by Bob Toth's mother's. We picked the car up, stayed at his mother's until about 12 o'clock at night, and drove straight home. We left on a Thursday night to get down there and came back Sunday, you know, a four-day trip to go down there, pick the car up, come back. Mm-hmm. On the way back, Bob Toth tells me, which is a great friend, by the way, one of my great mentors, and, you know, I owe a lot to that man, by the way. Tells me he has a 26-gallon tank in his Dodge pickup truck, and I'm calculating the mileage, like, I could go one more rest stop, you know, which was only like 3 miles more, and I was like, we'll get gas there. And then all of a sudden, the truck starts sputtering, and we're out of gas, because it's only got a 24-gallon tank. long story short with that, we're on the side of the highway, there's not a soul in sight, and the race car's got about 2 gallons of alcohol in the tank, and we have a 20-ounce bottle of water that we dump out, and we're siphoning with the pickup tube for the tank into the 20-ounce bottle and dumping it in the truck and hoping that this is going to work. We put it in the tank. It all of a sudden fires up, and we just start rolling and getting to the gas station, check engines flashing, And, you know, we're like, oh boy, you know, it's either going to make it or we're going to burn a piston. And we make it to the gas station, we fill up, but, you know, this is 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning on our way back. You know, it's it's a story that I wish I could elaborate on a little bit more, but, you know, with all the details of getting down there and whatnot. But it was, that's the story that makes that car to me, you know, pretty special between me and Bob, because, you know, we almost didn't even make it home, you know, considering that.
Welcome to drag racing, Brian Golic.
Absolutely.
If you can tell a good road story, you're in the mix. Let's turn you over to John Bockelman, and talk about some rocking.
Yeah, thanks, BP. Hey, Brian, we'd like to know about your favorite kind of music.
Well, I'm into classic rock, which I have to thank my father for, and, you know, definitely some metal. I mean, what kind of drag racer doesn't like metal music? You know, specifically Metallica for the metal stuff. I mean, there's nothing like a good Metallica song. It doesn't get you in the mood for anything. You know, that's adrenaline related. But, you know, definitely classic rock. You know, that's what I was raised on, and, you know, the metal for a little bit more away from that, but kind of the same thing.
Yeah, that's perfect, man. You're with 95% of the guests that we ask this question of. They're all into the classic rock and hard rock and metal and so forth. Is there any particular song that you think about when you're getting ready to go out there?
Honestly, I'd have to say if there would be any song, it would definitely be Fuel by Metallica, which is, you know, probably a cliche and everybody says that, but, you know, it's definitely a song that will get you pumped up. You know, I went through Frank Hawley's drag racing school, and I took a lot of that information to heart on how to mentally prepare yourself for getting in a race car. And as far as getting amped up and whatnot, I like to do that in the pits, but when I'm actually strapping in the car, I do as best as I can to clear my mind of anything and focus on the task at hand, because, you know, 200 miles an hour plus, anything can happen, and your mind's got to be on point. You know, I like to get amped up and ready for the situation, and then ease myself to a, you know, where I'm just focused on only one task, and that's A to B, hit my shifts, and, you know, bring the car back in one piece, as the pretty much any car owner is going to tell you. So it's definitely Metallica for hand with Fuel, though.
That's totally awesome, man. What about concerts? Have you been to a concert lately?
I haven't been to a concert recently because, of course, my life is consumed by drag racing. But maybe in the last 8 years, you know, that I did go drag racing, a couple years before and after, I've seen the band Rush, I think, 4 or 5 times. Probably my all-time favorite band is Rush. I've seen Def Leppard, 38 Special, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Dream Theater, Yes. You name it. As far as classic rock bands, I've probably been to a concert at this point. It's just, you know, my father had me listening to Rush since I was 2 years old, I'd say. So, you know, I've kind of been, you know, around that a lot. I never really went to any concerts when I was a kid, but when I was old enough to do my own thing, you know, decided to go to concerts here and there and when I could. And then, of course, drag racing came into play, and that consumes your life.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, we sure do appreciate it's the consumption that's been going on, because you've been doing some great stuff, Brian, and it's been awesome having you on. We got to say adios, man. We need to get you back on here, though, because there's about double the stuff we wanted to talk about that we didn't get to. So,
yeah, absolutely. There, anytime you want to talk.
Sounds good. Oh, come back and tell us about that Hemi Altered next year, man.
Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen,
all right, thanks,
Brian
Golic. I appreciate it.
Driver of the Super Camaro, tuner of the Fox Family Top Alcohol Dragster, and owner and driver of that badass blue Alter that you see on the internet. Brian, we'll catch you later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks,
folks,
Brian.
Let's turn over to John Bockelman for this week's JB's Take and Racer of the Week. Take it away, John.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Andy Frost from Wolverhampton, United Kingdom. Andy was recommended to me by our friend at CNC Engineering, Andy Cowan. Thanks, Andy. Andy owns and drives one of the quickest and fastest street-legal cars in the world. It's a 1972 Vauxhall VX490. When I first saw the car, I could have sworn I was looking at a 69 Camaro, but that's not it. It's a genuine British Vauxhall. Frosty has owned Red Victor since 1982, and he's been drag racing with the car since 1988. Together, they've won a multitude of races in all different classes, and they've traveled to the USA, Canada, and Europe. Now, he's taken the ultimate step in door slammer racing with Red Victor 3, and he's taken the car to Bahrain to do his best to recapture the quarter-mile street-legal world record. The engine in this car is a 539 cubic inch big block Chevy that was built by Mark Lamoud of Lamoud Racing Engines and tuned by Shane Tecklenburg of Fast Motorsports. It has twin precision turbo generation 2 102 millimeter Pro Mod turbos, a billet two-piece from Steve Morris Engines. The transmission is a Hutch Trans Andy Frost Reed Case 2-speed TH400 with custom billet internals and a precision performance shifter. The list of high-performance parts that are on that engine is too long to list here, but I recommend going to the Red Victor website, of which I'll link up in a minute, and checking all this cool stuff out. Because it's great. Andy's best quarter mile performance is a 627 at 237 miles an hour, and he was off the throttle at 1,000 feet. His best eighth mile run is a 409 ET at 191 miles per hour. The car is already in Bahrain, but the engine is in the UK at present time, having new heads put on and getting a killer tune-up for the upcoming contest organized between the USA, Canada, and the UK over the internet with Trish and Chris Biro. Frosty's goal is to try and become the world's fastest street-legal car. From seeing what he's done with this amazing hot rod, I have no doubt that he will achieve that goal. November can't get here fast enough. Frosty thanks his dedicated crew who have helped him reach the heights that he and his car have gotten to. Shane Tecklenburg, Debbie Frost, Gary Frost, Badger Burton, webmaster Larry Stockford, team photographer Matt Woods, and Rob Henchman Kearns, who sadly passed away in 2015. But he will always ride with the Red Victor 3. Andy also thanks his many sponsors, which are simply too numerous to list within this time frame, but I'm putting them in the text file, which will go into the draglist.com forum along with his feature tonight. He told me without his sponsors, they couldn't do what they do, particularly the Red Victor 5-second club. He has a great website. It's http, etc., redvictor1racing.co.uk. And I've spent some time on there, and it is a fascinating read. And the history of the car, it's extremely detailed, and I highly recommend visiting that website. Anyway, Frosty, we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. We'll check in on your runs in Bahrain. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. This week's JB's Take, Racer of the Week, always fantastic. Folks, we have a couple of friends to say farewell to, a couple of well-known names here. Harvey Emmons, the father of Edmund, and his brother, two great racers in their own right. Harvey Emmons passed away on the 8th. Ron Johnson, a real, real good guy. A lot of us knew in the nostalgia racing movement on the West Coast. He helped Steve Gibbs put on the Nitro Revival that we just had Steve on about. Has the original Chisler top fuel dragster and showcased that. Ron Johnson, a wonderful man, passed away on the 10th. Left a big hole in a lot of hearts in the nostalgia drag racing world. Folks, let's wrap it up. We want to thank Brian Golick, who was terrific. John Bachelman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and of course, Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. We'll see you next Monday night. Our guest will be Bob from Drag Time News. I don't have his last name here because I didn't write it in there when I put this together.
It's but, Bob Buechler.
Bob Buechler, thank you. And JD saves me once again. So let's see us next Monday night for Bob Buechler, and we'll find out what it's like to write about this sport week in and week out. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Don't bring me our blow down on peace.
They took us back to El Paso town. The days were long and our hearts were down.